Amen. I want us to take this confession. It's not our regular every Sunday confession, because we are dealing with the mind renewal process. Confession is a major, major part of mind renewal. Confession. This is not just spiritual. It has also been scientifically proven. I don't want you to treat our confession as a weekly thing. I want to plead with you. If I didn't say it before, I want to say it now. I want you to take the confession daily. Please take it daily. It's labor, but you are laboring in the word. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 4 to labor so that we may enter into his rest. Let's go there. Maybe I start from there tonight, and then we'll take the confession. Hebrews chapter 4. Praise God. Amen. Every time we have an opportunity to put the word of God in our mouth, let us not take it for granted, because something happens. You might not be able to explain it in the physical, but something definitely happens in our spirit. Hebrews chapter 4, it says, let us therefore fear, from verse 1, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Simply put, God has promised rest unto his people. There is no rest in the world. As a matter of fact, another way of thinking, that's what I'm teaching tonight. I started last week as part of the mind renewal process. Some people think, and I've had people say this, my late mother also said it, in Yoruba language, they say the day of one's death is the day of one's rest. Ojo iku, lojo isimi. And maybe you've heard people say that. Has anybody ever heard that before? Okay, good. A few of you have heard it. If you have heard it, can I see your hand up? Okay, good, good. Oh, quite a number of people. But do you believe that? Okay, so some people believe that. I used to believe that all. But if you put that side by side, the word of God, you would see that you should not believe that. Because it does not agree with the word of God. In the natural, logically speaking, it makes sense that after all, the day you die, you stop toiling, you stop stressing, you have died, and then you have entered rest. Now, the word of God is teaching us that you can enter rest while you are still alive. You don't have to enter rest when you die. Now, when a Christian dies, when a believer dies, what actually happens is that he has changed address. And to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. Okay, so that's rest also. But God is not waiting for us to come into heaven, for heaven to come into us. Because he didn't want heaven without us, Jesus brought heaven down. So the day you gave your life to Christ, heaven came into you. Can I have an amen? Amen. Heaven came into you. Now that you're born again, it says, let us, because this was written to believers, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. And he's not just talking about the heavenly rest here. He's talking about while you are here on earth, God wants you to enter. Americans say enter, to enter into his rest. Verse 2, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So the gospel, same gospel, was preached unto us. And please, I want to have your attention. Was preached unto us as well as unto them. We profited from it. They didn't profit from it. Why didn't they profit from the same word preached in a service? Some people profited from the same word. Some other people didn't profit from the same word. Why didn't they profit? Now, he gave the reason. They did not profit from it because the word preached was not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. How do you mix the word with faith? Before I go there, you will discover that even among the people, and I hope everybody's listening to me, this is very key. It will help your life forever, as long as you are living as a Christian. Among the people that profited from the word, you will discover from the scriptures that some people brought forth 30-fold of profit. Some brought forth 60-fold of profit. Some brought forth 100-fold. Now, I want to belong to the 100-fold category. I don't know about you, but that's my goal. Maybe I'm not there yet, but I want to get there. 100-fold. So, that is even among those that brought forth results, that brought forth profit. And I can tell you by the help of the Holy Spirit that difference happened because of their attitude to God's word. We don't all have the same attitude to God's word. It is the measure with which you meet, M-E-T-E, King James says in Mark chapter 4, that it shall be measured or meted, M-E-T-E-D, back to you. The measure with which you meet, M-E-T-E, the measure with which you take, or the measure with which you show reverence to the word of God. You show honor to the word of God. You treasure, you value the word of God. It is the same measure with which revelation will be measured back to you. So, this also speaks to building capacity, which I'll be addressing January next year, because the Lord spoke to me along that line. A spoon has its own capacity. If you want to drink water and you're thirsty, you can use a spoon to scoop some water into your mouth. Is that right? Is that right? After all, how do you feed babies? You don't feed a baby with a jug. A baby, a two-week-old baby needs water, or you figure that this baby needs water, you get a spoon. There's a teaspoon for a baby. It has its own capacity. But at your age now, you have developed higher capacity. Am I right about that? If you are thirsty now, you're really thirsty, and somebody is scooping water into your mouth, would that be nice? So, there is a mug or a cup, or maybe you have the capacity to drink a full jug. So, a spoon has its own capacity. A cup or a mug has its own capacity. A jug has its own capacity. How about a bucket? A bucket also has its own capacity. Now, so you have a jerry can, it has no capacity, okay? And then you have a barrel, what you call a drum, has its own capacity. And then, taking it up, you have the GP tank. You have the GP tank that can supply water to a house. So you have a house that has four flats. Now, you cannot sufficiently take care of the four flats with a drum, with a barrel. Would that be right? Now, but you can maybe sufficiently take care of a family with a drum, right? When I was growing up in Mokola, each family in our house had a drum, at least one. You filled it up, right? And then you use that every day. And then you fill it again and use it and then fill it up again. That can take care. That's the capacity for a family. But when it comes to 3-4 families in the same house, you can use a drum for them. You have to get like a GP tank or two. In the house where I live now, we have two of them, one supplying the two flats up and then the other one supplying the two flats down. Okay, now, what if you want to take care of the whole estate? Do you think that the two GP tanks in my house has enough capacity to take care of all the houses, about 40, just trying to be economical? let's say about 80 houses on my estate right now. Do you think two GP tanks have enough capacity to take care of the whole estate? No. A lot of people will not have their bath. I can guarantee you that. So to take care of the whole estate, we need a water reservoir. Or, okay, there is no space to build a water reservoir. That means we'll need a water tanker coming into the estate every day to supply water. Look at, from a spoon, that's a capacity. And then you now have a mobile tanker, a mobile water tanker that supplies. Now, it is the measure. How much water do you need? I need a lot of water. But what measure are you using to get water? Well, I'm sorry, I don't have a tank, I don't have a barrel, I don't have a bucket, I don't have a jerry can. What do you have? I have a cup. Okay, well, I'm sorry, I'll fill your cup, but that's since that's what you have, your cup is filled. But can you use that to have your bath? Come on, talk to me, church. Do you need? Can you use that to have your bath? It is not enough. So if you need more water, it means you need to increase your capacity. So it says, the same measure with which you meet, it shall be measured to you. I can't give you a bucket full of water when you come with a spoon. You have only 5 minutes to spend in God's word every day. You're going to get 5 minutes worth of revelation. That's what you're going to get. God is not partial because you don't have time. You have 30 minutes worth of time to spend in God's word every day. You're going to get 30 minutes worth of revelation. If you decide to stay an hour every day, you'll discover that you're increasing capacity. God can say in 1 hour what a preacher may not be able to say in a lifetime. The measure with which you meet, meaning the value. And this applies not only to the word of God. The value you place on anything determines the virtue you draw from it. Majority of you are students. Some of you are graduates. Those of you who are still students, if you don't have much time for your studies, how much can you get out of your education? You have only displayed to your parents or to yourself that education does not really matter to you. So, you boycott classes, you don't go for classes, you don't read your books, you spend your time watching Netflix. But when you see students who are always in the reading room, they go there maybe every other night. Not only going to the reading room, they have their reading groups, study groups. They do online classes, they do offline classes, they exchange textbooks, they exchange ideas, they do quizzes, they question one another. They task one another. You see people who have placed value on their education. And they are in every school. But also in every school, there are students who don't have much time for all of that. I mean, if you want to hear the latest gist, go to them. You want to know the newest club in town, they can tell you, you see that club is better than this club. Because in that club, I tell you, it's premium or nothing. But you see, these other clubs, it's just crass. They don't have class. You know, you want to know where strippers are? There's another club. They have all the information. Because you see, that is their value system. You see, that is where they make their own investments. They invest in knowing those kind of things. Do you know it is what you really want to know that you will know? Oh, you didn't hear what I said? Some people know what is trending on Twitter every time. The good, the bad, the ugly. That's what you want to know. Some of us don't even know how to use Twitter. We don't even know how to use it. Because you don't want, you're just not interested. And I'm not saying it's a sin to use Twitter. And I'm not saying it's a sin to know what is trending. But also, when you're online, it's a crazy world out there. You want to be careful the kind of information you're exposing yourself to, because it's all coming back to you. You want to be careful what content you are interacting with. You want to be careful what you're feeding on. Your eyes are they are a gateway to your destiny. Your ears are a gateway to your destiny. Some of these gateways, you need to be careful what you allow in to your life. You want to be careful the kind of spirits you are fellowshipping with. I have a whole lot to say. I can imagine I can go in that direction and keep going that direction, but I want to quickly come back here. Now, I'm still in Hebrews chapter 4. So how do we mix so that we can profit from God's word? How do we mix what we hear, the gospel preached, with faith? You know what the mixer is? Those of you that cook in the kitchen, you know what a mixer is. You have a mixer at home. If you don't have one, you can get one online. A mixer is something that mixes, right? Maybe you mix flour with egg and you want to make cake. You mix it. You mix it well. You turn it and mix it and mix it, right? Anything that mixes, just mix, mix, mix. So that then you can use what you have mixed. You can bake it. Take it to the next level. In the word of faith, your mouth is the mixer. What comes in through the gateway of your ears goes into your heart. But it must be mixed in your mouth to produce results. It must be mixed with faith in your mouth. Go to Romans. We are coming back here, but go to Romans. Media, please give me Romans. I don't want to leave this place. Give me Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Verse 9 first. Romans 10, 9. Very quickly. Thank you. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, confess with what? You say something. To confess is to say something with your mouth. You are singing it. That's because your mouth is the mixer. You say with your mouth the Lord, with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. It's a simple process. There is the confession. There is the believing. Now, verse 10. How does it work? Verse 10. For with the heart, man believes. Now, it is not the heart. This one pumping blood. That's the organ. That's not the one you believe with. This one cannot believe. Okay? It's just like your eyes. Say, my eyes believe. Mm-mm. Your heart cannot. This one can't believe anything. It's talking about your spirit man. The innermost you. According to 1 Thessalonians 5:23, that God is able to sanctify you wholly. Sanctify your whole spirit, soul, and body. All right? So, with your spirit man, when your spirit man hears the word of God, that portion of you can believe. Because it's that part of you that is born again. And that part of you loves God. That part of you has been recreated after God. That part of you longs to be in the presence of God. That is the part of you that wants to come to church. That is the part of you that wants to have church at home. That's the part of you that wants to have service after service. That is the part of you that wants to pray all night long. Even though it is not convenient for another part of you. There is a portion of you that wants to fast every Wednesday or every Thursday. But there is another portion of you that wants to eat, doesn't want to fast at all. And you agree with me that some of you don't probably eat breakfast early. Maybe because of your nature or nature of your work. You don't get to eat breakfast until about 11 a.m., sometimes 12 noon. It's already going to lunch. But the day you make up your mind, I'm going to fast tomorrow, what happens at 6 a.m.? Everything in the world seems to be against you. Hunger will wake you up. Hello, I am hungry. I say, no, today is the day of the Lord. I'm fasting today. I'm fasting today. And your body will tell you, look, I want to eat. He said, no, you're not going to eat. I'm going to eat. Because if I don't eat, I'm going to die. I mean, your body will be telling you. And the body is so stubborn and is so emphatic in its speech. You know how the body speaks? It gives you feelings. You start feeling headache. I didn't know that for many years in my life, that when people were hungry, they got headaches. Until a friend of mine told me. I didn't know it. I know now. Do you know that the day you're fasting, then at 9 a.m., you fight it, you fight off that thought, you take your bath, you pray in the Holy Ghost, you read your Bible, you say, yeah, we're ready. Boom, you get out of the house, 9 a.m. You walk past an eatery. the smell of jollof rice and chicken and plantain. One part of you says, well, you've started well, and you know that it's the day of the Lord. You really want to consecrate a fast, and you want to spend time fellowshipping with the Lord. Fasting does not change God. It doesn't make God answer your prayers. It changes you. Then another part of you says, you can't just walk past a bucateria like that. I mean, it's a bucateria. You know what they do at the bucateria? The buta. Go back there and eat some jollof. You can fast tomorrow. And then you go, that's a good idea. After all, I can fast tomorrow. And then you want to go back. And another portion of you says, come on, take it easy. Why don't you push? You can do it. You can fast. And you can pray in the Holy Ghost while you fast. And you can do it till 6 p.m. Your body will be very loud. No! No! I'm not going to do 6 p.m. You want me to die? Everything is going on in your head. And people don't really know what is going on. They just see you bouncing on campus. But there is a warfare ongoing. It's always happening between your spirit and your flesh. Are you getting what I'm saying? And it's like that for everybody. Since I joined this church, 2001, that's some 23 years ago, I've got to know that this church fasts every Wednesday. And I have been fasting. Now, some Wednesdays have not been very spiritual. I wish every Wednesday was spiritual. I wish I could stand there and tell you, every Wednesday from the day I joined, I have fasted. No, some days I failed. Not very many, I thank God for that. But can I shock you? Now I'm a pastor. Do you know that even some Wednesdays now, I still get that tussle between my flesh and my spirit? I know it's a Wednesday. I know I should fast, but somehow I just have the idea that I think we can take a break today now. I remember one morning I was taking my children to school and we had to get some things for them to eat in school. So I made an extra order and this time it was for a loaf of bread. You can imagine, bread. So I thought they would let it slide. But my daughter said, Daddy, and my son said, it's Wednesday. I said, yes, I know. Then my son took it a step further. Are you not fasting today? And I asked him, are you not fasting today? That, no, we don't fast. We are your children, but you fast every Wednesday. I hadn't started eating. I just bought bread, like maybe for later in the day. But as a matter of fact, I wasn't going to fast that day. But because of what they said, I was too ashamed of myself. I had to fast. Because I knew after school, they were going to ask me. So, Dad, how did you go? Did you fast? Eventually. And I think we all need that check system in our lives. Is that right? There is always an issue, all right, between your spirit and your flesh. In between the spirit and the flesh, which is the body, is the soul. The soul is sandwiched. And that's your decision-making center. And I tell you, that place is very powerful. That decision-making center of your life, of my life, is very powerful. Because this is where many Christians miss it. The decision-making center. Whether to flow with the spirit on the inside or to flow with the body on the outside. Christians that are body-ruled, body-controlled, are called carnal Christians. They may be born again, but they are carnal. And you see, carnality leads to death. Romans 8 and maybe verse 13. Can you give that to me very quickly? Romans, I said, didn't say Obadiah. God bless you. For if ye live after the flesh, we all have the flesh. And this epistle was written, this letter was written to Christians born again. If you live after the flesh, you shall die. May we not die. This is not just physical death. It's talking spiritual death. But if you through the Spirit, the Holy Spirit in your human, born again human spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body. Mortify. The same word mortify has, it, that word has the same root as the word mortuary. If you kill the deeds, the desires, the lusts of the flesh, you shall live. God expects us to keep our body under check every day. If you don't keep your body under check, your body will put you in trouble. This is where stories that touch the heart come from. There are many people who really love God, well-meaning Christians, but because they failed in dealing with that soul that is in between the spirit and the flesh, they failed entirely. Paul said, if you live after the flesh, I don't know how hyper grace people read their Bible. Like, this portion is not in their Bible. If you backpedal to verse 7, that same Romans 8, quickly, because that's not where I'm going. I'm just making some branching here and there, but it's working. Now, because the carnal mind, what is the carnal mind? The mind that is controlled by the body. Every decision, body controlled. Every decision, you're not even consulting with your spirit, which is in sync with the Holy Spirit on your inside. Everything, you are influenced by what is going on outside. Outside. What is trending? What is happening? What's the gist there? What is going on there? Every decision you're making has been influenced by how you feel, your body, your contact with the external world. He said that kind of mind is enmity against God. May we not be God's enemy. Because you may be God's enemy and you don't know it. And you're carnal. And every day we are faced with decision making. Especially between carnality and spirituality. Your church has decreed or declared 2 weeks fast. And for the 2 weeks, there is another opportunity to go and gig somewhere. To party after party. You say, this party is once in a while. For 2 weeks. Let me just go on a yacht cruise with my friends. But church, your church, the church you belong to, and God knows you belong there, is fasting and waiting on God at that time, the spiritual decision will be to fast and to pray and to be in obedience to the authority of the church at that time, because the authority of the church comes from the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the church. I remember I went to America a particular year, and during my trip, I traveled in July. Yeah, it was July, and it was during the fasting period of the church. I stayed with a couple for that period. I went to different places, but the period of the fast, I stayed in their home in North Carolina. And I joined the service every day, streaming online. I watched the prayer. I got the prayer bulletins online. I was fasting in America. And someone said to me, Pastor, you're in America right now. This is like your own vacation period. God will understand if you, eat. En lati sonra ke, jeun ke, time leni, because very shortly you're going back to Nigeria. Why don't you eat? And I'll say, well, thank you very much, but no. And for me, fasting in America is more difficult than fasting in Nigeria. Because in Nigeria, you don't have food anyway. So, the little food you have, you can do your 001, right? And that's okay. You're even happy that you are managing the thing. You know, you can gauge your rice, you know where it is, your beans, your yam, you can measure yam, cut 2 slices, you know that. You're not eating until tomorrow. In my family, when we fast like this, during the fasting period of the church, the 2 weeks, January and July, we don't cook much. It's a time to save food a lot. You save your cooking gas. It lasts longer than the other period where you cook like 2-3 times a day. You're burning gas every time. But in America, you have no excuse. There is food everywhere. Free food. And food is not very expensive. And I'm even a guest in somebody's home. So whatever, they already stocked the freezer because Pastor Fred was coming. I remember one day I strayed to the freezer area and I opened it and I saw a whole lot of things and each of them is saying, pick me, pick me, pick me. And you know, America, they have these things that you can quickly just microwave and eat. Fast food. I saw oatmeal that you can just put in the microwave and boom, it's ready. And it has vanilla flavor. You know, I said, ah, man, that was a real fast. And I didn't break my fast using the American time, using the Nigerian time in America. You know what I mean? 6 p.m. in Nigeria was 12 noon over there where I was. So I joined the prayer. I prayed at the same time, prayed for 1 hour. And I'm sure my hosts were looking at me. You know, sometimes people just study you, but they won't let you know. I could have said, well, Shebi, we have finished praying. Okay, so PFE, your food is ready. You are done praying. No, it's 1 p.m. now. Eh, but you prayed. It's 6 p.m. in Nigeria. It's 7 p.m. now in Nigeria. But it's 1 p.m. here. My fast is still 6 p.m. American time. One day they said to me, man, I respect you. Now, I am not super spiritual. That I passed that test yesterday does not mean I'm going to pass it today. The Christian life should be lived depending on the help of the Holy Spirit, not just every day, every moment. Every moment. Because Satan is just looking for an opportunity. Do you know you could come back from church from a 3-hour marathon prayer and do the most stupid thing when nobody's watching in the night at home, just a few minutes before you go to bed? Every moment, that guy doesn't give up. He's a full-timer. The devil is a full-time devil. And so you can't afford to be a part-time Christian. Be on guard always. Be on your guard. Be on your spiritual guard always. Give him no room. Ephesians 4:27 says, neither give place to the devil. You can't afford to give him 5 minutes of your time. When you are driving on the road, don't give the devil a ride. If you do that, he'll be wanting to drive. In less than 1 minute, he'll be wanting to drive. Don't give the devil a crack in your life. If you give him a foothold, in no time, he will establish a throne. He's an opportunist. That's why we need to be very, very radical in our faith. Be an all-out Christian. Don't be a half-baked Christian. You see, if you're half-baked, you'll be compromising a lot. Let them call you a fanatic. Yeah, it's fine. God loves people that are extreme. In Revelation, he said, I wish that you were either hot or cold. You see, you are neither hot nor cold. I don't understand you. Jesus said, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. That's giving you up. And if he gives you up, you are going to pick up a reprobate mind. You will do things that are not convenient. You'll become a gay. You suddenly discover, I'm gay. And I was born that way. And I've just come out of the closet. Because the mind is now reprobate. When you are hot, you are useful. When you are cold, if you are cold, I can help you. You see, God can help people that are downtrodden. God can help the backslider. He will heal the backslider. If they turn and repent, he will do that. So if you're hot, God will use you. I mean, amazing things will happen in your life. If you're cold spiritually and you call for help, God can help you. But if you're neither hot nor cold, God can understand where you are. Today, you're in church. Tomorrow, you're somewhere else. He said, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. May Jesus not spew you out of his mouth. Amen. The carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Verse 8, please, media, quickly, 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 because I need to sort this out. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. You can't please God in the flesh because the flesh has its own appetites. The kind of things that it enjoys, the kind of things that it wants. Are you with me, church? Go back to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, where we started. So, I told you that the mouth is the mixer. That is where you mix faith. You mix it in the place of confession. You take up the word of God, take it up into your heart, mix it with your mouth. Decree it, declare it. Verse 3, for we which have believed do enter into rest. As he has said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limited the day. Again, limited a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would it not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Verse 9. There is a rest for the people of God. There is a rest. Rest is the capital evidence that you are in faith. You can't be in faith and be in agitation at the same time. Are you with me, church? When you are actually walking by faith, you are operating from the position of rest. There remaineth a rest. Therefore, a rest to the people of God. Let me ask you, are you the people of God? For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. Verse 11. It says, let's read that together, verse 11. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. Every day that you take up your confession and you confess God's word and it takes you 5 minutes or 10 minutes or 15 minutes, you are laboring in the word to enter into the rest of God. When you start confessing, you may not believe everything you're saying because your head will fight it. But say it and say it again. Sit down and meditate on it and say it. As a matter of fact, meditation includes saying. Meditation is not just pondering over the word of God, pondering over the promises, making mental pictures, they are part of it. But confession is an integral part of meditation. So when I sit with a scripture, and I'm there, and I'm just there. I'm looking at it. I read it slowly. I take all the words one by one. I stop. I put it in my spirit. I think through it. I ponder. I put mental pictures. I create mental pictures. I put myself in that scripture. And then I say it. I say it again slowly. And then I think through it. And then I repeat it. Repetition is part of it. It's part of confession. I repeat it. When I repeat that process every day, guess what will happen? A time will come when I don't read that scripture, but I know that scripture. Not because I've just committed it to memory. That's part of it. But it has become flesh to my spirit. Such that if you squeeze my heart, what will come out will be the word of God. Can I have an amen to that? When people say the day of death is the day of rest, they were told by somebody. They were told by a generation ahead of them. They took it wholeheartedly. They believed it. They didn't just believe it. They said it. They mixed it with their mouth. Mouth is the mixer. And guess what happens? The result is not always nice. If they say the day of death is the day of rest, how about unbelievers? When they die, do they rest? Wahalor, Promax starts when an unbeliever dies. If an unbeliever takes a gun and says, I'm tired of this life, I just want to kill myself, I want to end it, and then pulls the trigger, boom, his body will fall down, blood all over the place, but he himself will still be standing, because the real he himself is the spirit. Spirits don't die. So his first shock will be, oh, I thought I killed myself. Yeah, you killed your body. What is this? Now, reality will now just dawn on him. He did not surrender his heart to Jesus, so he's going to an eternity where he will not see Christ. Ah, may we not open our eyes in eternity and we don't see Christ. Amen. Then his trouble will begin. He's going to hell. He's going to be eternally separated from God. I mean, eternally. He will never see God's face of mercy again. Never, ever, never, ever. Not 1,000 years, not a million years, not a billion years. Eternity, 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 forever and ever. Man, you don't want to go there. And because Jesus didn't want us to go there, he went there and tasted death for every man. And he sanctified us. And so both he that sanctifies and we who are sanctified are all one. For which cause is not ashamed to call us his brethren. Hebrews 2:11. It's a scripture you should meditate on. When you are meditating the word of God and you are confessing it, you are laboring. It's labor. This labor is to drive out unbelief. Unbelief has formed a castle in our head. We grew up in unbelief. We grew up negative. That's why walking by faith is usually very tough. And to get your faith to work, we believe pretty much in the negative. Too much. So much that it reflects in our prayers. If I pray for you, you will live in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, you see how low the amen was. But let me pray this way. By the power in the name of Jesus, as this year is ending, you will not end with this year. Amen. Can you see that? I'm praying from the negative. Your amen was louder. Even the man that said amen before, whose amen was with steez, he lost the steez now. Because he doesn't want to die. Because you see, I came from the angle of not dying. And your mind processed the picture of death care, posi care, coffin, burial. Oh no, amen. If I say you will not die, amen. By the end of this year, your picture will not be used for RIP. Amen. Oh, mercy, Lord. Mercy, Lord. You know, we could just simply believe you will live in the name of Jesus. You are blessed in the name of Jesus. Amen. But you see, the amen is cool. But you say, stretch out your hand. You see those hands? You will not use to bury your children. Amen. The amen will be so loud. I don't like those kind of... Don't pray for me that way. It's not scriptural. You give some people money. They are beggars. They come begging and you give them money. 200 naira. Say, but that... This hand you have used to give me money, you will not use it to bury your... Look, I will never bury my children. So don't pray that nonsensical prayer for me. It is not a prayer. It is because people are highly developed, highly mature in unbelief. Why would you think of the burial of a child? Somebody gave you money. Listen to radio. Somebody wins the prize and they say, oh yeah, pray for the company that gave you the prize. Oh, God bless you. That's the prayer. Your company will not catch fire. Is it you that will go and put fire there? Why can't you say, oh, the company will prosper? But no, because we are not highly developed in faith. We are highly developed in unbelief and in the negative. Let's begin to change that. Can I have an amen? Amen? That's why we have Bible study. Now, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest. lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Labor to enter into that rest. As we labor in the word of God, meditating on the word, speaking it, confessing it, spending time. You can't get this done in a hurry. If you know you're in a hurry, then you're not ready to grow as a Christian. Now, the process of getting the word in and speaking it out, mixing it with faith with your mouth, is renewal, mind renewal. Something will be happening to your mind. Renewal is not building. You're not building something when you're renewing. You are restructuring. You are renovating. See this building? By this time next year, in the name of Jesus, it will look completely new. It won't look like this. Can I have an amen? So what is going to happen is that we want to renovate this place. Give it a facelift. So I'm telling you now, and we need over 50 million for that. So start praying to God. Those of you that are going to give us 1 million, 2 million, 5 million, 500,000. I didn't hear any amen. Amen. You see that? You see that? You are still not getting what I'm teaching. Because some of you that will give us 1 million. Ah, Kishawa. Don't 25,000. Amen. You see what I'm saying? Because you are not even expecting that God will transform your life. I'm not blaming you, but I'm getting you to think. Don't limit God. Don't limit him. So, renovating this place would require that we would tear some things down. You see this POP up here is a gunner. It's not going to feature in our new design. We're going to tear it down. All right? We're going to maybe scrape the walls. We're going to remove all these fans. We're going to remove a lot of things. We're bringing in brand new interior fittings, and maybe we'll repaint, and then we'll do some work here, and then brand new air conditioners. Can I have an amen to that? Yeah. That's what you do when you renovate a house. When you want to move into a new apartment, you renovate. If you're a decent person, you don't just want to move unless there is nothing to renovate if it's brand new. But if it's not brand new, you get a painter. Am I right? You paint. You do some fittings, electrical fittings, all right? You buy new drapes or curtains, right? You buy new things so that the place can look new. That is what happens. As we get into God's word, this word will begin to tear some things down. They are called strongholds. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 to 5. Can we go there very quickly? And you know who the decorator is? The interior designer. Because, you know, I like interior designers because I like the way they think. Interior designers and architects, I like them because I like the way they think. You see, we see an open space. In the mind of an architect can already build 10 cubicles at the back there. In their mind. And so when you give them a job, they come up with the design. You say, are you sure we have enough space? They will tell you have more than enough space. Because of the aesthetics in their mind. The same with interior designers. You can look at them and say, do you think this is nice? This is not nice. So, no, this is nice. So give them money, give them time. By the time they come back to do their work, you say, wow. It's a function of what's going on here. Now, 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Can you see they are not carnal? But mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So, like, we're going to pull down this POP. We're going to pull down the roof, the asbestos or slotex, whatever you call it, the fans. We're going to pull them down. We're going to tear some things. We're going to scrape some things. We're going to screed the wall. We are going to paint. We are going to bring in new things. We're going to paste new things. Install new things. That's renovation. That is what the word of God does to your mind. It will renovate your mind. Such that by the time somebody comes into that mind, they see a beautiful space. And the person that does that work of renovating and bringing in new stuff. What are the new stuff? New thoughts. His name is the Holy Spirit. Can I have an amen? Amen. It will begin to tell you, you will live and not die. It will begin to tell you, look, you are meant to prosper. Yeah, there is a famine in the world right now. Look at verse 5. Casting down imaginations. We have all had bad imaginations. How are you going to survive in this economy? How are you going to make it? It's tough. We're in a famine. Hey, imaginations. Hey, the way things are going, you might not be able to renew your rent. Can you start making room for squatting with a friend? And then if you listen to the devil, you get on your phone and you start chatting your friends. Hey, what's up? Who can I stay with? Can I stay with you for the next semester? And they're like, hey, guy, what happened to your space? Man, you just get a sipisha. We'll go talk. Now, you might not be able to tell them. But in your mind, you have accepted defeat. Satan has told you, and I hope this sound has not gone off online. Satan has told you that, look, your parents are finding it hard to live right now. You are finding it difficult. Work is not coming. Money is not coming. How are you going to be able to renew your rent or pay for your accommodation next semester? So, and then you say, Omo, Baba, it's true. You look at your account. You've been spending, debit a lot, no credit. Wisdom is profitable to direct. Let me look for who I can stay with. That is not the wisdom of God. A wife said to her husband, and the husband said to me today, with the way things are happening in this economy now in Nigeria, it looks like we're only going to be eating twice daily. The man said, he screamed, not me and you! We eat three times daily. We have confessed God's word all our lives that we shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. And now you have accepted the economy of Nigeria to squeeze you into a mold, and you are thinking that the first thing to do is to reduce what we eat, like God's ability to feed us three times daily has reduced. Not me and you. No, not me and you, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
And if you listen to people around, of course, everybody is cutting down something. People are cutting down their offerings, cutting down their tithe. Some are not paying tithe anymore because they need to save money, because what is coming in is not enough, right? So we need to be wise. We need to apply wisdom. And there are many preachers online now who are telling people, you don't need to tithe. So, well, Shebi is a doctor. He said, we don't need to tithe. Well, let's keep the money. We can use it for something else. You know what's happening? You are bringing in the old stuff again that the decorator has thrashed. You say, oh, no, it's better than what we have here. We can make do with it. Well, let the AC stop working because you don't have enough money to buy diesel. Let's reinstall the old fans. When we were using fan, did we die? Pastor Fred, didn't he? The fan will not kill us. Well, let's bring back the old fans. What would this place look like again? What would your life look like again when you stop meditating God's word? You would look like your old self. Then you'll be having your old result. That's why you see some Christians who do well, get to a point. Then they start declining. It is not God's plan. It's not God's agenda. They stopped something along the line. When the economy is hard like this, it's not time to stop tithing. It's not time to stop giving offering. Can I shock you? It's the time to increase your offering. Oh, yes. It is the time to increase your offering. We think that when we give to God, we are losing. That's what we assume. It is because you don't have revelation. When you know that, number one, that thing that you even gave in the first place, who gave you? You're like a child. They buy you a pack of biscuits. Can I have one biscuit? No. No. You've got 10 in the pack. I bought it for you. Can I have one? If I bought it for you, I have the ability to buy, and I can buy you a whole carton. A whole carton of biscuits. I just bought you one sachet, one pack, and you wouldn't give me a piece. Imaginations. If I give it, I'm going to go broke. People don't give to other people now because they are trying to save. The food we have in our house is not even enough. How can we be giving another person? No, change your thinking. Have you ever seen the birds go on protest because God didn't feed them? Talk to me. The problem is we are taking the wrong thoughts. We have a choice whether to take thoughts or to not take them. Let me tell you, every thought that comes to you, they come from either of these two sources, either God or the devil. You don't have your own original thought. There's nothing like, it's my original thought. That idea you have, which is a brilliant idea, came from the Holy Spirit. Job 32 verse 8. But there is a spirit in man, and the man is the source. No. The inspiration of the Almighty gives them understanding. It is the Almighty that inspires you. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you getting what I'm saying? Proverbs 20 verse 27. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching through all the inward parts of the belly. The belly representing your spirit. Your spirit man, God lights up your spirit, then you see, there's an idea. Oh, that's a concept. Oh, that's really nice. That's from God. He lit up your spirit. Because he did, now you could see. Psalm 36 and verse 9. For with you is the fountain of life, and in your light, we see light. Do you see light in your own light? You see light in his light. Come on now. Are you getting what I'm saying? David said, out of that which you have given to us, we are giving back to you. So who is your source? Some even think their business is their source. That's the problem. That's why many, many Christians don't do well in business. Unbelievers, they just fly. Your business is not your source. Your business can change. Your business is the channel. When people ask me, what's your source of income? I say, Jesus. I know you serve Jesus. What's your source of income? Jesus is the only source that I have. Oh, you mean my business? That's a resource. Amen? People like your parents giving you money, they are resources. That's why when there is a conference and they invite people to come and speak, what do they call them? Resource persons. They are not the source. Every idea they want to give you in that conference, they got it from somewhere. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes, James 1:17. Every good gift, every perfect gift comes from the Father. Cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So when I think of God as my source, I don't hold back in giving to God or giving to his work. No. Because holding back is saying, Lord, if I give you, I'm going to go broke. I'd rather give you and go broke and see whether you watch me go broke. I was in a conference in America. Years ago, I had my last $20 bill in my pocket. I did something that didn't make sense. Dr. Bill Winston was teaching and preaching. And man, the word literally lifted me from my seat. I mean, the revelation was so much. I felt, look, and in that place, you could go out, and if your word blesses you, sow a seed. I just pulled out the $20 bill. I walked down, maybe $10. I walked down, and I put it on the altar, and I went back. As I was going back, people started coming. I remember that year, and I still watched that video. It was Southwest Believers Convention in Fort Worth, Texas, in the U.S. I was the first person that came out to give. As I was going back, people started coming. It got to a point Dr. Bill Winston had to stop. Because the crowd was, people were just coming. Fred, how do you go home? I was living with a family in Richland Hills in Texas. We were in Texas. And I had no idea. The conference closed at about 11 p.m. Talk about people that love the word of God. From 9 in the morning, we'll have breaks, of course. If Papa Copeland was the last speaker of the night, you are done for. Just know that you can finish. Normally, it should end by 8 p.m. thereabout. If it was Papa Copeland that was coming as the last speaker, we were there till 11 p.m. And when the conference closed, everybody was leaving. I was leaving too with everybody, like I knew where I was going. By faith. Then I stood at the entrance. People were walking past me, people were walking past me, walking past me. Somebody just tapped me on the shoulder. Olua Fred. And I turned back. Ah, Reverend! So I hugged him. It was Reverend Ekine Elekima of Christ Chapel International Churches, Ashi Ibadan. We met in Fort Worth, Texas. So you're here, I'm here, Rev. And then we read. And I said, so how far now? Let's go now. I said, okay, sir. So where are you staying? I said, somewhere in Richland Hills, Texas. He said, so how are you going now? I said, I don't know, sir. You don't know? So a brother came who was coming for him to take him to his own accommodation. So he just told the brother, well, we have to drop this man of God where he's going. He said, so where are you going, sir? I have my address here. And so we got in the car, put the address on the GPS, boom. By the time they drove me to my accommodation, I had slept off. I was so tired. When they woke me up like this, I didn't even know the house again. You know, because abroad, all the houses are alike. I first wandered to one house. It was not the house. I went to another one. I finally got the place. Thank God nobody pulled out a gun. And then I said bye to them. And then they now started traveling back to their destination. It's like taking somebody from here to Oyo. And then now coming back to Ibadan and going towards the world. That was what the journey was like. But God arranged for me to get home that night. It was a foolish thing in the natural to do. But one thing that God did for me in that conference, financial pressure left me. Does it mean I've become a multimillionaire? No. But that thing called financial pressure, before that time, I could worry for Africa. What are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? How am I going to buy this? Omo, every day now, I live in peace. I am not agitated. If I'm driving the last fuel in my car, I know that before that fuel goes dry, before that car begins to jack, God will send another provision. The same way is how we run the church. It will shock you. When we spend a whole lot of money on projects, on convention, on conferences, we spend all we have because I am an all-out person. We should go all out if we are doing the things of God. I don't like half-hearted things. The account can come to zero. And when we have, before another need arises, it might be the night. Zacchaeus can tell you this. Sometimes I show him the screenshot of what we have left. I say, Zacchaeus, we are trusting God. He said, no, Pastor. Oh, Pastor. And he's so trained. He said, oh, yeah, we have more than enough. We have more than enough in the name of Jesus. I said, yeah. We know we are talking faith. And we have never been embarrassed once in our lives as a ministry. As a ministry or me as a person. Embarrassed. No. God always shows up. Change your thinking. And then your life changes. Can I have an amen? Amen. Let's close for tonight. Stand on your feet, everybody. And then we're going to take this confession as we close. Say with me, I thank you, Heavenly Father, that you daily load me with benefits and blessings. For Lord, you are good, and your mercies endure forever. I want you to mean it, because you are doing some renovations in your mind and in your soul, and God is going to come through. Amen. Amen. Say, thank you, Lord, for working in my favor this day. And every day. Concerning my life and family, financial prosperity, and the work of my hand, physical health and body, spiritual life and ministry. By the grace of God, I am highly favored, blessed, victorious, successful, and a very prosperous and rich person. Are you prosperous? Are you rich? Amen. The blessing of the Lord makes rich. Say with me, tonight and every day, I declare and decree, I am the head and not the tail. I am above only and not beneath. I am blessed going out. I'm blessed coming in. I have favor with God and with all people. And with all people. Tonight and every day, I declare and decree that whatsoever I lay my hands upon to do in my life, family, business, career, and ministry is prospering and succeeding exceedingly and abundantly right now by the grace of God. Tonight and every day, and redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Tonight and every day, I decree and declare that with long life, the Lord shall satisfy me and my family and show us his salvation and deliverance. Tonight and every day, I decree and declare that I am very healthy and very strong in my spirit, soul, and body. For by the stripes of King Jesus, I am healed. Tonight and every day, I decree and declare that I am walking in righteousness, holiness, faith, and love. For I can do all things through Christ Jesus, who strengthens me. Tonight and every day, I decree and declare, I am growing in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and with all people. And the grace and the favor and the hand of God is upon me mightily. Tonight and every day, I decree and declare, I always know what to do and how to do things and when to do things by the inspiration and wisdom of the Holy Spirit. For I am full of wisdom and understanding by the Spirit of God. Tonight and every day, I decree and declare, I am moving forward from glory to glory in every area of my life by the favor and the wisdom and the help of God. For the Lord is my shield and my glory and the one who lifts up my head, always making a way for me where there seems to be no way. Tonight and every day, I decree and declare, I am always at the right place, at the right time, to meet with the right people concerning my life, family, blessings, destiny, career, profession, academics, and ministry. By the favor of God, I receive destiny helpers into my life right now. Final declaration. Yes! This is the day the Lord has made. I will be glad and rejoice in it, for my God is working in my favor. Tonight and every day, come on, rejoice, 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 rejoice. Woo! Glory, 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 hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. All things are working together for our good. Woo! It tastes very good, amen.